is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Yeah. 6:12, and if you haven't left for work already, you're late. Regardless of what time you have to go to work. It's not a lot of snow. It doesn't look like a big deal. It's just very slick.
It's just
slick
very
and slippery.
Yeah, it's very slick. As I said before, watch those side streets. Main streets are okay. Side streets are
Main
messy.
Streets are okay in the city. The burbs are not.
They not were so not much. Okay for yeah. me when I came in. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're getting better by now because the plows usually come out at 4, 4:30.
But why weren't the plows out last night?
They were in the city. I don't know about you guys.
Well, the burbs, they weren't.
We weren't.
We had the salt trucks out.
I don't know.
Maybe all
it right. wasn't as expected as much, but...
Well, for those of you who turned to us for information on stories like this, I believe our answer is, we don't know.
No, we knew there'd be a dusting, but...
I'm talking about the trucks. Why the trucks and stuff
probably
weren't
wait till there's more than a dusting. You
know, I don't know what the protocol
go out
is.
And dust. You want to go out and plow.
What is the protocol for going out?
I would say a certain amount of inches.
Because ice is the issue.
In the city, what they do is they do precautionary. They send out the salt trucks ahead of time.
Right.
So sometimes you'll see them literally salting dry pavement or just as the snow is starting to fall, which is the best way to do it. But again, that's on the main streets.
I think going forward, we should have an intern for the city named Timmy.
Okay.
And when it starts to get cold, if we're like on a borderline or whether or not we send the trucks out, he runs out as fast as he can and he tries to stop on the sidewalk.
That's probably not a good
idea. And if he falls, the trucks have to go.
What would Timmy sound like?
He would run. Woo, 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 woo!
A very excitable boy.
Timmy the intern.
Out.
Timmy the ice intern.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's slow everywhere. So, you know what'll wake you up, though, when you're driving, like coming in on the Eisenhower, and there's a car coming at you in your lane?
Wrong way driver?
Spun out.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that'll wake you up.
That's dangerous.
You might be saying, Steve, why are you sleeping on the Eisenhower? Look, you got to catch a nap wherever you can.
On the side of the road.
That's what I'm saying. No, I was moving. There's that stretch where 88 turns into the Ike before it dumps down into one lane where you can get it. Mary, you know this. You're a champion napper. You know, you got to
nap
where you can.
On the Eisenhower.
What? Of course you do.
I do not. I'm in automation when I drive, but I'm not napping. I'm sort of awake.
You know, you need a nap. Yesterday, left here kind of late, and... I did that thing where I'd driven 20 minutes maybe and had no recollection of the previous 20 minutes.
Oh, that's bad.
That's not good.
That's when you know you need a nap.
Well, you know, it's not because I was sleeping. You were just zoned out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't like I was getting work done while I was driving or anything else. I was just kind of staring and drooling.
But your eyes were open, though.
Yeah.
That's where the car nap comes in handy. You find a parking lot or you'd get off the
but
road.
But I didn't feel like I was going to fall asleep. I just came to and I said, what happened in the last 20 minutes? I didn't know if I'd hit anybody. I didn't know what. Come on, you've done that. Everybody's done that, right? Maybe not for 20 minutes.
Zone out.
20 minutes, yeah.
Zone out, but your eyes are still open.
Well, the city or the state may be bankrupt.
This is a nightmare.
Rauner and Republicans are proposing some legislation later today that Rick Pearson writes about in the Chicago Tribune and online at chicagotribune.com. Is this a reality or is this a nuke to get the Democrats to move on the budget?
I think a little bit of both. This definitely could be a reality. And we kind of saw the writing on the wall, too, with this very public feud that's become of Rauner and Emanuel's friendship. Previous friendship, I should say. But what it boils down to is the mayor wants the state to bail out Chicago Public Schools, but to the tune of $480 million, and Governor Rauner saying no. So today, Jim Durkin, House Republican leader, and the Senate Republican leader, Christine Redonio, they are going to unveil some proposals at a news conference where they are going to try to prevent Chicago Public Schools from filing for bankruptcy. Rauner is suggesting they should file for bankruptcy, and Rahm is saying no.
Right. So Rahm obviously doesn't want that. Where would CPS fall on that? Because it would or would not. Well, it doesn't really doesn't affect their strike plans either way.
No. And here's, I guess there is a somewhat of a silver lining. Monday on Martin Luther King Day, the first layoff notices were supposed to be mailed out to Chicago public school teachers. And on that day, they said they might be able to avoid teacher layoffs. Now, they might come in the form of other staff within CPS. But they said as of Monday, they're not going to be sending these pink slips out to the teachers. Now, Nope. That could change.
And what we also don't know is if Rahm is on the phone to Madigan, and, you know, quietly saying, look, you got to get this done.
You have to do something.
We got to get the money in now.
To add fuel even more to this, yesterday the state announced that it hasn't paid. It owes $900 million in unpaid utility bills. So they could literally
turn the city's lights off.
Yeah, and one of the state senators said if the state was a paying residential customer like you and me and everybody else, the lights would have already been shut off.
Oh, of course it would have
been pulled.
Yeah, of course it would have. It's the juxtaposition of yesterday. You showed me a picture on the Channel 9 website.
Yeah.
That was taken from one of the barges out on the lake that hadn't frozen, and it's a shot back at what I've always believed is the most beautiful city skyline you can find anywhere, mm-hmm. anywhere in the world. It's just breathtakingly beautiful. You look at that and you go, wow, how could something that pretty be that screwed up?
Makes you kind of want to stay way out on the lake before you come in.
Thank goodness we have all this great leadership that's going to bail us out of all of this. Six twenty-two. Remember, I was doing the old afternoon show. This is like 10 years ago now. Sitting in this studio, and Rick Pearson, I think you were in the studio at the time when one of our guests suggested the state ought to file bankruptcy and get in front of this problem now because there's no end in sight. Here we are, 10 years down the road, and bankruptcy is an active discussion by way of proposed legislation today. How much of this is politics? How much of this is reality?
Well, I'm not sure about truly when it comes to reality that we'll get there. This is something that Mayor Emanuel has ruled out in the past. Christine Redonio, the Senate Republican leader, was on the Sunday spin last week and suggested both of these issues should be considered, both bankruptcy for CPS as well as state financial oversight. And with the state financial oversight, that's a joint production of the city and the state, both the mayor and the governor. It's been done in other communities, but it's Chicago as part of the 1995 reforms that led to the city takeover of the schools was exempted from that legislation. So I think what you're seeing bottom line here is an effort by the Republicans, Christine Redonio, Jim Durkin, the House Republican leader, and Governor Rauner, to say that, look, we are presenting some options here, but it's not exactly anywhere close to what Mayor Rahm Emanuel wants, which is some form of cash assistance and cash relief.
So the mayor would like the governor and Redonio and Durkin to not go along this path, but is he on the phone with Madigan to say, we need this fixed now, we need $500 million now? Is any of that going on?
Well, that's been an ongoing discussion, but of course it's tied into the larger issue of the Springfield impasse, the issue of why we don't have a state budget. It's also part of what the governor calls his turnaround agenda, which, of course, includes several union weakening provisions. And certainly one element of a bankruptcy filing would be to basically strike collective bargaining agreements. Yesterday, Governor Rauner spoke to reporters and explained how he was not pleased with the way that Mayor Emanuel handled the school strike last time, and that he believed that Mayor Emanuel gave in too easily to some of the demands from the Chicago Teachers Union. So everything is all caught up in that, you know, that whole one point, and then that's the whole Springfield impasse. Rauner has said that if the mayor would help him get elements of his turnaround agenda, he'd be more than happy to help work with the mayor to try to come up with the kind of cash and cash relief that the mayor is seeking.
Yeah, as he said on the show a couple of times in the past couple of weeks, and by the way, Rick, Mike Madigan did not appear. He's been invited. He did not appear. We offered to send a car. He had plans. Yeah, couldn't make it. But the governor said in the past couple of weeks that he is very disappointed in the mayor's relationship that he had with the governor, and it all seemed to be past tense as far as a good relationship goes. And frankly, it didn't sound like politics. It sounded like there is a huge rift between the two of them now.
Well, I think there is a rift, but as I've said, I'm not sure that this isn't just part of the normal kind of political opportunism that exists. certainly you've got Rahm Emanuel in a much weaker state, the result of the criticism he's faced over the handling of the Laquan McDonald video. And my question has been, though, that when you start getting into some of this more deep, entrenched kind of rhetoric, the governor saying that he thinks the mayor is a failure, thinks that he is tone deaf to the needs of the people of Chicago. When you start getting into deeper levels of rhetoric, I'm not sure how that leads to any kind of resolution of anything.
Rick, what you said earlier kind of resonated. Declaring bankruptcy would allow the district to get rid of the union contract. So how would that affect the teachers? Would it be immediate or not at all? Would that open up a whole new can of worms with the teachers union?
It opens up a whole new can of worms. And, of course, we still have ongoing negotiations between CPS and the Chicago Teachers Union on a new contract. So, it would open up a whole new door here. And, we all agree that and the financial problems of Chicago Public Schools are deep. We had the story from the BGA over the weekend about that they couldn't find computers and other equipment from the nearly 50 schools that were closed. The CPS bureaucracy has always been subject for criticism, and the Republicans say, you know, look, for all practical purposes, the school system is bankrupt as we look at it.
Before we run out of time here, and by the way, the story is in the Chicago Tribune online at chicagotribune.com. If the limits of Mike Madigan's power are holding his breath and turning bluer, what are the limits of the governor's power?
Well, the governor ultimately is a check and balance in the system, but you have to have legislation. There's not a lot of things that the governor can necessarily do without a spending authority, appropriation authority, and as I said, we don't have a budget. You have to pass legislation. The governor can sign it or veto it. The legislature has super majorities, although, as we've seen with Mike Madigan and State Representative Ken Duncan, who has become an ally of honor, he doesn't have that veto-proof majority anymore. So, sure, we're going to have this announcement today, but what practical effect will it have, considering we're looking at February as kind of a danger zone for the Chicago Public Schools going forward?
Well, the layoff announcements have to go out in the next 2 weeks, though, right?
Although those were put off while negotiations were agreed to continue between CPS and CTU.
Madigan going to open the session anytime soon?
The legislature will be back in at the end of January, and that's when Governor Honor is supposed to present his State of the State address.
Be sure that that's a good date for Madigan. He may want to push that back. He's very busy.
Well, he's got a primary opponent.
Who is it?
It's a young man who is trying to shake things up in Madigan's Southwest Side district.
I want to announce my, I don't even know his name. I want to announce my endorsement for him right now. Never met him. I don't know what he stands for. I just want to endorse him.
I will send you the background materials.
Have a good day, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
At Rap 30, RAP30, that's Rick Pearson in the Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com. You can read the story of the next delightful chapter in the end of Chicago and the state of Illinois as we knew it. Outraged. It's the only answer.
It's definitely a new twist we didn't see coming.
It's free lawyer time. Karen Conti is on. It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti on the verge of a new adventure in her own life. When are you opening the new firm?
February 1st is the start date. I'm leaving my firm, and it's a good decision. And I'm going to be out on my own with a lawyer and the staff, and it should be great.
I have some name options for you. What do you think of Karen's House of Law?
I was thinking maybe the Cochran name would somehow come into it.
No. I want it to be about you. How about the Conti Hut? How about Just Conti? Hey, Jess Conti is pretty good. Oh, you said you have a partner. Jess Conti and some other dude.
I like it. All LLC. Right,
you
put the LLC on that one.
All right, so here we go. A couple of stories floating around. Drew Peterson. Oh, I've missed him. He's appealing his murder conviction to the state Supreme Court. Can they throw that out?
They could, but they probably won't. And in Illinois, the Supreme Court is not a court that takes every single case. So they have to decide if they're going to take it before we even talk about whether they're going to reverse it. So they really do hear very few cases, and they only hear cases where there's a serious dispute about constitutionality. Now, this is a case they might take because of that hearsay evidence. As we all remember, a lot of the evidence that convicted Drew Peterson was Stacy's comments. That was the fourth wife who was never found, and she was talking to the pastor, she was talking to various people, and those statements that were made to other people came into the trial and were really helpful in convicting him. And a lot of people found that that was something that was illegal, it shouldn't have happened, and the Supreme Court might just weigh in on that because it is an interesting constitutional issue.
Who's his lawyers now? He's gone through a bunch of them. Does anybody you know?
Well, I think he has Steve Greenberg, who was one of the his dream team. Steve Greenberg is a very seasoned lawyer. He's a good lawyer. And I know that he is helping write the appeals, but there's other people who are helping out. You know, when you have a high-profile case, a lot of lawyers will do these kinds of things for free, not just for the publicity. A lot of people think that's the only reason. But I think a lot of lawyers like to do these kinds of things because they're important. And if you change the law and you appeal and you get the law changed for other defendants, you develop a reputation for being a good lawyer.
You know what would help Drew Peterson is if Stacy Peterson's boyfriend that she ran away with would show up. Oh, wait, there wasn't one. Or if Stacy Peterson could testify that it wasn't his fault. Oh, wait, she can't. He killed her. This creep's staying in jail, right?
I think he is. And then another thing that's going on is the new trial. I mean, you know, he has been accused of trying to kill Glasgow, Jim Glasgow, who is the state's attorney out in Will County. And I think the case might be even up today on the issue of whether or not the wiretaps, they apparently wiretapped him in jail talking to someone about trying to get somebody to kill the state's attorney. And they're trying to get those things thrown out. Probably not going to happen. He's probably going to go to trial on that. He's probably going to lose on that. So he's got a 38-year sentence, and he might just have another one after this is all over.
Do we know if anybody is, in his world at this point? I know the fine people of Bolingbrook. I know a lot of people in Bolingbrook, and there's a lot of folks there who say his kids have turned out remarkably well, considering the hell they've been through.
You know, and that happens. And it's hard to grow up. You know, I mean, I've represented some really bad people who have had really good kids and really good relatives, and they really all get tainted with the bad brush, which is too bad. But you have to remember, Drew Peterson is in Menard, which is in Chester, Illinois. You don't even know where that is. It's way south, on the very tip of Illinois, on the Mississippi River. It's a hellhole down there. It's a horrible prison. It's very remote. It's very isolated from everything and everyone in Chicago. It's a good 6-7 hours to get there. And I assume that, you know, he's making his new friends, quote unquote, in jail. But he's going to be isolated. And those friends that he had, it's really quite a strain to go down and see somebody who lives that far away. So my thought is he's probably very isolated away from all of his former buddies.
Karen, are prisoners allowed to be on the internet and either have a Facebook or a Twitter? Are they allowed to do any Facebooking or social media like that? I didn't think
so. No, they don't have access to computers. In some prisons, they do if it's the minimum security, but that would only be to do legal research and things like that. But a place like Menard is, you know, a heavy-duty, high-security place. It's an old prison. It looks like something out of the Middle Ages, and it was condemned years ago. I mean, it's a horrible place to be. It's cold and it's hot. It's not a good prison, and I'm sure they don't even have access to those types of things at all.
Can you see somebody in Mac security going, what the hell's a Wi-Fi password? What kind of a hotel is this?
Right.
The other most hated person in the news is Martin Shkreli, the pharmacy CEO, ex-pharmacy CEO, big pharma CEO is a more accurate term. I'll ask about him when we come back. Karen, I know you're going to have to hire. Karen Conti's with us. Karen, I know you're going to have to hire some new people for the firm as the thing grows and stuff. So I think you should hire someone, but make them change their name to Jurisprudence.
Oh, what a lovely name.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Very
I'm thinking.
Nice.
I'm a thinker. You know that about me.
Thanks for all your tips. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah. And let me know if you need any help with decorating, because I'm all about this style. Martin Shkreli is the creep who was running a pharmaceutical company and was a former Wall Street scumbag. And Martin Shkreli took a drug to help AIDS and cancer patients and raised it overnight by, what was it, 5,000% or something crazy? I mean, it was ridiculous. And then proceeded to go on CNBC and other places and act like he was justified in doing it. So when he lost his job, a month ago now, it was not exactly sadness around America because he's a punk. Now he's fired his legal team in his fraud case. Is it hard to find a lawyer when you're this loathable?
No, it's not. And he's probably got assets to pay for it. And if he doesn't, the government will pay for it. But, you know, the thing that we have to first think about is he's not being charged with any of the stuff that we hear about as far as him raising the price of drugs that people need on a daily basis. Those are the evil things that he did that we know about, but the things that he's being charged with are completely unrelated to that Ponzi scheme stuff. He supposedly got an outside lawyer to advise him to do things to take money from one company and pay debts from another company and cover it up. So all of those things, which are not the sexy allegations, are the things that he is charged with doing. And listen, this is what happens. People are hated. Like people like Al Capone. You know, he's not prosecuted for killing people. He's prosecuted for tax evasion, and the same with Martha Stewart and people like that. So people who are in that high profile, I call it low profile situation, are going to be scrutinized by the government. But in so looking at them, they find other things that they did that are probably more chargeable than the obvious. So that's what this guy's being charged with. And you know, losing your lawyer, you know, you have a difference of opinion with your lawyer. This guy obviously has strong opinions. He probably says to his lawyer, you know, I don't like your strategy. I want a more aggressive strategy. Let's get new lawyers. And that's not uncommon in the situation.
So defrauding investors is a fun way to catch up to somebody who may be a bigger criminal in other ways.
Oh, absolutely. And what's interesting in this case, not to get into too many details, is that, you know, usually you say, when you're arrested and in charge, you say, listen, I had lawyers advising me all the way. I had accountants. I had all these people telling me that what I was doing was legal, so how could I have any evil intent? Well, in this case, they're also charging the lawyer who supposedly helped him in covering up all these things and drafting the documents that amounted to the cover-up. So, you know, it looks to me that he's in trouble here.
It's Martin Shkreli's time, and maybe he and Drew Peterson could share a cell. We could save a little tax money.
Oh, I'd love to see that one.
Be fun. At K Conti Law, KCONTILAW, and we thank you as always. If people want to get a hold of you, what do they do?
Call me at 312-332-7800 or email me. And this stuff won't change when I go out on my own. K Conti, KCONTI, at kcontilaw.com.
Andrea, do you have an idea for Karen?
I was just thinking maybe Conti's Cons.
Conti's Cons are the people she tries to, you know, keep out of jail.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep trying, Andrea.
Sorry, Karen.
Keep trying on that one.
Congratulations. I like Conti Hut. That was cute.
The Conti Hut. Big House of Law.
Or Conti and then the other guy, the other dude.
Conti and others.
Conti Hut, I can see like having a salad bar in my office.
Well, you know, we all have to multitask and we all have to give people other reasons. So that's all I'm saying. All right. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
See you there. Karen Conti. 657. Back with more. Oh, and Jordan Goodman will join us after 7. You guys love Jordan Goodman. Every time Jordan Goodman's on, everybody goes, we want more Jordan Goodman. And I tell you, no, not until next time. Jordan Goodman will be on after 7. It is next time. And you'll be able to ask all your questions about credit cards and different things and student loans and why you're a financial train wreck. We're going to try to help you out. You could even text in some questions, and we'll try to get to those at 312-981-7200. So all the greatness of Jordan Goodman is just minutes away on this Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
7-Eleven, Jordan Goodman is better at money than you are, and better at money than I am, and better at money than all of us combined. He joins us, Kev, is it every month?
Once a month we have Jordan.
Can't really afford him other than him.
What's that?
Can't really afford to have him on other than him.
Right, just once a month, normally on Wednesdays.
Big money on Jordan, big money. Jordan Goodman has actually saved me a lot of money over the years, and more importantly than saving me money, has made me a better investor and a smarter guy. And for those of you who listen regularly, you know that can't be easy. And he joins us now. The website is, well, let me have him tell you the website. It's your website, Jordan. You tell him.
MoneyAnswers.com, and people need some answers these days because it's been a little on the volatile side. I tried to save another plunge for you this morning, Steve, so our timing is good.
It's always good when we have you on MoneyAnswers.com with resources, every book Jordan's ever written, love advice,
yes,
how to get your car out of a ditch.
That's good.
It's all there. All right, so let's talk financial ditch. What are you worried about today?
The markets are going to plunge again today, well over 300 points on the Dow. So far, this has been the worst opening of the stock market at the beginning of the year ever. It had been 1932, but we've now surpassed that. We are in a deflationary situation where prices are falling sharply. Oil is down to $27 a barrel. It's incredible. It's just been falling every day by a dollar a barrel or more. On Monday, the Iran sanctions embargo is off. So now Iran is pouring more oil onto an already glutted market, which is why oil is falling further. And the stock market seems to be falling, following oil around the world. So overnight, sharp declines in all of Asia, all of Europe, and we're going to follow through this today.
Let's start with oil. Oil at $27 a barrel is great when you're paying $1.65, $1.75, whatever the number is for gas. It's really, really bad for people that live in oil and gas producing areas in all of the fracking states who thought they had it fixed forever and would never right. have to worry about money again. That economy is a real world economy, and doesn't it have negative effects on us in the long run?
Absolutely. The entire U.S. oil industry right now is not economic, does not make economic sense at $27 a barrel, the entire industry. So you're going to have, you've already had over 250,000 layoffs in the oil business last year. I think it could be double that this year. And it's not only the oil companies, but the oil service companies that service them. It's the banks that lent them money. It's the junk bonds they issued. The entire oil industry is cratering right now, domestically and internationally. I mean, Venezuela is about to default on its debt. Russia is in real trouble. Iran is going to start doing better because they're going to start exporting. But all of our friends are in real trouble now, like Venezuela and Russia. So maybe there's something so good about this, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah, well, our friends in quotes. Our friends when they need us. But the fact that Iran's going to dump a bunch of oil on the market is good right. in the short term, because any money coming in for them is a positive, but it just deflates everything even further.
Correct. So everything that we're cutting back on, and we have been cutting back on our rigs here, is being made up for by new oil from Iran. Now, the difference is when we do fracking here, maybe it costs $60 a barrel, maybe. There it's $2 or $3 a barrel. So the Saudis and the Iranians have very low costs. So there you're still making money at $25 a barrel, where we're losing a ton of money. So, you know, they have a big advantage over us. And, I mean, some would say it's a conspiracy that the Saudis want to put our fracking business out of business. Well, if so, they're doing a good job of it, because with oil at $27, you're going to see massive layoffs. And this is hitting the companies. It's hitting the individuals. Can imagine what it's doing to the state revenues as well in North Dakota, Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Alaska. So there's municipal repercussions of this as well.
Is there an agreed-upon sweet spot for a price of oil per barrel? Is it $40 a barrel, $50 a barrel?
Or? I would say more like 60, really. Okay. I mean, at least for the U.S. industry to make money, I would say more in the 60 range. We're not getting back there for a long time. I think we're going to go into the low 20s at this point. I said when oil was in the 50s that we're going to go into the high 20s. People thought I was crazy. Here we are right now. And I think because of the Iranian situation, there is so much oil in the world right now. There are literally tankers, huge tankers filled with oil off the ports of every major oil port.
Who are sitting
there. They have no place to offload the stuff in Houston and Singapore and Dubai, all over the place. And now they're producing even more on top of an already glutted situation.
And before we finish this part of the discussion, we'll come back with credit cards and student loans in just a second. But before we finish this part of the discussion, the other thing that came up this morning on the opening bell as well, people are going, hold on a second. $1.60 a gallon for gas, and the airline tickets are still as high as
yes.
ever.
Yes.
That's because they leverage long-term and don't anticipate prices staying the same. That's their excuse, right?
I do not take their excuse at all. I mean,
but I'm saying that's their they're saying.
Yeah, 50% or more jet fuel is down for them. And recently they were starting to raise fares, not even keeping the same. They're actually raising airfares. It's a total ripoff, and people know it. But because of the consolidation of the airline industry, in many cases, people don't have any choice. That's what a monopoly will do. And I think they closed the lights on the antitrust department a long time ago, certainly in the airline industry.
It's 7:17. We'll do traffic here, and Mary will update us on the mess, and then more with Jordan Goodman. A couple of questions from you texters as soon as I can get to them, and credit cards and student loans, as I said, when we come back. .722, Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com, and Jordan rejoins us now. All right, Jordan, credit cards.
Yes.
Give me the resource for credit cards you recommend for everybody and remind people that they don't have to use a credit card from the bank down the street.
That's true. So there's a free website, creditcardperks, perks.com, that has all the best deals anywhere in the country. The lowest interest rates anywhere consistently are in Arkansas, where I know you spend a lot of time.
I do.
You can get about 6 or 7% long-term down there. You can be from anywhere. There are also cards with frequent flyer miles and Disney points, all kinds of different things. You can roll your balances over there and save yourself a lot of money on that. If you have a lot of debt at high interest rates and you can't get another credit card, go to a nonprofit credit counseling place. They can get you interest rates of typically 6, 7%, help get out of debt much quicker than you can on your own. My favorite place there is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. They've been doing this for a long, long time. Their website, cambridgecredit.org. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. They've helped a lot of GM listeners in the past consolidate all debts. They get deals from Chase, Bank of America, Citibank, and so on that you can't get on your own and help you get out of debt.
If you are trying to bump your credit card, your credit rating up, I should say, what role do credit cards play in that positively and negatively?
Well, very much so. I mean, the most important thing in your credit score is paying on time. That's about 35% of your score. So where it is, that's where you want to be. But the amount of debt you have is also important, what's called debt capacity, the total amount of debt you've got compared to how much you're using of it. The mix of debt, they like to take a look at. You have credit cards, mortgages, student loans, car loans. If you have a good mix of debt where you're current in all of it, all that's good stuff. But the most important thing is paying your bills on time, which all of your listeners do at all times, I hear.
And how many credit cards is too many? How many is not enough?
The average American has 13 credit cards.
Are you kidding me?
I would say about 4 should be fine.
13?
That is the average, correct. Now, a lot of some.
By the way, average means there's people with a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you're definitely talking, you know, if you go to Macy's or Carson's or Pier
exactly.
One, yeah, when they say, do you want to open an account?
They may not use them, but they've got them. And that's using what's called debt capacity. So even if you don't use it, it's potential debt outstanding. So that's the average. Now Steve, you're under 100 now, is that right?
No, I'll tell you the truth. I pump everything through American Express because it's forced discipline to pay your bills on time.
Yes.
And
membership rewards that way, which is a good thing.
Yeah, which is a good thing. But I feel like, you know, that, and I've got, you know, the bank card, but I don't really use a backup card or another card. I feel like I should have another one.
You should. We should get like Disney points. So when you go to Disney World, you get free popcorn or something.
So credit card perks is where I ought to go.
There you go. Creditcardperks.com.
The idea of me chasing points at Disney for popcorn is amusing. Let me get one call in here and then we'll get these texters as well. We'll take a break too and talk about student loans. This is Brant. Brant, go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've got a question for you. My wife passed away in November.
Well, condolences.
Well, thank you. And I didn't know if we had any debt or she had any debt. Apparently, she had a debt out, a card, a $5,000 card. It was in her name only, nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. I got a letter a little while ago stating this company was sorry about her death and everything, and they want to know who's paying the bill. Am I obligated to pay this?
Not if you're not your name is not on it. No, you are not.
Okay, good. That's kind of what I thought.
They may have a case against her estate. If her estate had assets and it's going through a will or probate, they may have a chance at that. But if your name, if you did not sign it, it is not your debt. No, you do not have to pay for it.
Even though they're married?
It depends who signs on the credit card.
Okay.
If your name was not on that credit card bill, you are not responsible for it.
Yeah, it's Brent. And, Brent, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. More with Jordan Goodman coming up in just a second. All right. Now, every time we have an opportunity to give away a Hawks ticket, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, we like to make it as interesting as possible. And I thought maybe caller 720 this morning. But instead of that, once again, we have asked the celebrity to stuff a puck in their pants.
Oh.
So I'm going to give away a few clues now. And based on the clues, the first correct caller, 312-981-7200, who can name the celebrity with a puck in their pants, will win what, Kevin?
They will win a pair of tickets to Sunday night's game against the Blues. And they'll also be entered to win a season ticket package for next season, four tickets for next season, thanks to Four Seasons.
Pretty exciting. By the way, the Hawks are automatic pilot.
They're rolling right now.
12 in a row.
Fun to watch.
12 in a row. Don't tell me about Patriots dynasty. Don't tell me about anything you want to point to as a sports dynasty around this country of ours. You've got to put the Hawks right in the middle of it, right in the middle of the discussion.
After an offseason where people were a little worried, Patrick Sharp moving on, Brandon Saad moving on, and they haven't missed a beat. They are destroying teams right now.
It's amazing. Here are your clues. This person is a celebrity, though. This person is literally legendary and commands respect. This person's an entrepreneur. And this person is known for catching criminals.
Oh, I know.
Chasing and catching criminals.
No, I don't know.
You thought you knew, didn't you?
I thought I did know.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Legendary. Commands respect. An entrepreneur.
Catching criminals.
Now, you wouldn't think an entrepreneur would catch criminals, but in this case, it's true.
Oh, I know. No, I don't.
Okay. First correct caller, 312-981-7200. More with Jordan Goodman after the big story coming up on 720 WGN.
Now, back to more Steve Cochran.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey.
From the 773, good morning, WGN. Hi, Steve. I won Hawks tickets for the December 27th game. Thank you very much. We had a great time. The day I won the tickets, Patty Vasquez had a puck in her pants. Yes, more and more celebrities are lining up. It's a lot like when Dancing with the Stars caught on, where people just wanted to be on it. They wanted to be a part of it. And this morning, once again, in case you missed it, just moments ago, a true Chicago legend, if not a national legend, stuffed a puck in his pants.
Hi, I'm Bill Curtis, and I've got a puck in my pants, and it's really crowded.
He's not kidding. He's a big sports fan. He's got a Bears helmet in there. You know, he's got a bag of baseballs. He's got a lot of stuff going on there.
All in his pants.
All there. Bill Curtis.
He's awesome.
Oh, Big Pants Bill. That's what they call him. Let me go back to Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com, and jump to a couple more calls here quickly. Sure. Hey, Joe, what's your issue?
My issue is this. I made an investment with an institution, qualified me for a free, no-fee credit card, but if I remove the investment, which I am seriously thinking of doing, then I'm going to have an annual fee with that credit card. I want to get rid of the credit card. I never use it, but I understand surrendering or canceling a credit card affects my credit score, which I don't want to hurt.
Well, that's how they get you, Joe. What do you think, Jordan?
Well, you're right. If you've been using the card and paying it on time, that's going to help your score. And if you close that card, you're going to lose that good credit history. But it sounds like you haven't been using the card, Joe. Is that correct?
So, Joe, I'm not sure on that.
Years ago and don't use it anymore.
Okay.
It's not going to affect your credit score because you haven't been using it. When you close a card that you've had good experience with, that'll hurt you. But this, you haven't been using it for a long time, so it's not going to hurt your score. And don't worry about some small fee when the main thing is your principal is going to be going down dramatically with what's happening in the stock market here. So close the thing already and get your stuff out of there.
Well, there you go. That's good news. Mike, what's on your mind, Mike?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My IRA has dropped in value to where it is back in 2014. Mm-hmm. I'm scared that it's going to keep dropping. Where can I put my money where it won't keep losing money?
How much has it lost, Mike?
It's lost about $45,000.
Yeah, I hear this all the time. Well, if you keep, and it's in stocks, is that where it is, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to fall further.
What's it as a percentage? Of, how big a drop is that of the total number?
Yeah, what's the total amount in the IRA?
The total amount in the IRA now is $350,000. It was close to $390,000.
Yeah.
So it's dropped about $40,000.
Yeah, so was that 15%, something like that?
It's going to go down more, Mike. So I'll tell you what. Here's what you should do. Put it in a safe haven to wait out this, I think, tremendous bear market we're going to see. The Dow is down again this morning. I think it could be down another 30 to 40% this year. This is going
to
be another
30 to 40%?
Okay. Correct. 30 to 40% this year.
I'm not putting you on anymore. There's too much bad news.
I'm just
with
telling you.
You
the truth. You know me. I'm just going to tell you the way I think about it.
Sometime you need to lie to me.
Not this one. This is too important.
All right.
And so here's a good safe haven for you, Mike. I've been putting my money in what are called commercial mortgage bridge loans. We've mentioned this in the show before. Lots of GN listeners have done this. There's a website for that, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. It's a way of getting 6% very safely over a one-year time period. You get monthly checks, get your money back at the end of the year. There are no fees whatsoever. It does not trade, does not go up and down. It's not affected by the stock market crashing, as it has been lately. It's not affected by interest rates, by oil prices, by anything. And there you get your money back. And you can do that inside an IRA. You'd have to roll it over into a custodian. And now your money's earning 6% with no possible, you know, basic capital fluctuation of any kind. And now you're hiding out and not going to take further losses. You don't want to lose another $40,000, what you've already lost here. So, again, if that helps you, Mike, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com.
And you can roll that?
And you can roll it into a 401k or into an IRA from his existing IRA or out of a 401k, wherever. You can do it inside an IRA. You can do it outside.
As long as he's not taking cash, he's going to be okay.
Correct, tax-wise. Yeah. You only have to start taking it 70.5.
Yeah.
But up to that, you can keep your money growing tax-deferred in a regular IRA, tax-free in a Roth IRA. But the main thing, you got to hold on to your principal in this environment. And I mean, we're going to see another bloodbath today on top of what we've already seen this year. And, Mike, I don't want you to lose more principal.
We'll come back with more from Jordan Goodman, or as I like to call him, Darth Goodman, moneyanswers.com, and student loans in just a second, 747. Jordan Goodman rejoins us. Aside from the bright, sunny stock market news, there's that student loan.
Yes.
And repaying student loans is what Kevin's in the middle of now.
Isn't it fun, Kevin?
Oh, it's a blast, Jordan.
Kevin, what do
you pay a month, Kevin?
Yeah, what do you pay a month?
About $265.
And so how long is it going to take you to pay it off?
He'll be 79.
I'll be 79. It's going to take me probably 10, 15 years, something like that.
Yes. Okay, we can take care of that right now. All right, so what you want to do...
You're going to pay for my student loans? I appreciate that, Jordan.
Kind of. It's a little more detailed than that, Kevin. Grab a pen.
What kind of interest rate are you paying, Kevin?
I don't know. I should have had this.
You should know these kind of things.
I know.
You know, in all seriousness, Kevin, you're not alone in this. And everybody who has had their parents take care of their financial life or is just getting into the grown-up world, and I'm not being flip when I say this, you need to get the paperwork out and tell them exactly what they need to know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so you're probably paying 5%, 6%, something like
but
that.
But you need to know the percentage. You need to know what deal you have.
And saying 10 or 15 years isn't good enough for me. I want to know specifically. You should know your payoff date because okay. You could have a big party then or something.
Yeah, but Kevin, you're not alone. I mean, most people your age are...
Student loan burning party. You know, we used to have mortgage burning parties. Now we could have student loan burning parties.
Most people, Kevin, and I'm not exaggerating here either. Most people Kevin's age, I think, are exactly where you are, Kev. They know that the your money's being sucked out of your life, but you don't know why.
Right.
For the rest of your life, basically. All right, so here are the two things you can do. You probably have a 5, 6% interest rate, something like that. You can refinance your student loans to as low as 1.9% and save yourself a ton of money and pay it off quicker that way. A website for that is SoFi.com, SOFI.com/moneyanswers. They'll get the best rate when you say it's me. SoFi stands for Social Finance, and they've refinanced over $6 billion in student loans in the last 4 years. It's only about a four-year-old company, but they've been doing this a lot. So that you can refinance them, save yourself a ton of money right there. Second thing you can do, consolidate them. If you've got a whole bunch of student loans at a bunch of different places, consolidate them into one loan at the lowest possible rate. A website for that, consolidatecollege.com. And the third thing you can do, now Kevin can't do this, but other people can, is what's called the Income-Based Repayment Program, the IBR program. If you work for the government, state, local, or federal, or the military, or post office, anything like that, if you work for a nonprofit, 501c3, or if you're considered in financial hardship, which Kevin definitely does not qualify for, you can get that IBO.
Well, you don't know what I pay him.
Sure.
So the same website I just gave you, consolidatecollege.com, this IBR program, you pay the minimum for 10 years. After that, no matter how much you owe, the rest of it's gone. So
all right.
Those are some things you can do.
All right, let me jump to a couple of texters here
Sure. Related
to this. Got a kid still in college. It says, look, I maybe have an extra $50 a month. Pretty good if you're in college. The extra $50 a month, should I start paying my loan ahead of time? Is that even allowable? That's a good question.
Well, it is allowable, yes, because, I mean, you're in deferment while you're in college. And then they typically give you 6 months when you get out of college to have to start paying on the thing. But, yeah, the earlier you can start paying it, the less you'll have to pay. I mean, $50 isn't going to make much of a difference. I think you should use it on pizza, personally.
Great. Really responsible advice from you, Jordan. Really helpful. Let's see.
Enjoy the experience before the debt comes. You
know? From the 847, my daughter's going to college this coming fall. She has a mutual fund with $28,000 in it, which will pay for a year of school. Since we don't need it until fall, what should we do short-term to protect that amount?
Yeah, if it's in stocks, get out of it now, okay? Because it's not going to be $28,000 come the fall, the way things are going right now. So if you have a mutual fund account, switch it into the money market fund, because you've got an immediate need coming up this fall. And that $28,000 is going to be, whatever, $20,000 or less if you just have it in stocks right now. So this is a time to be conservative if you need the money. If you need the money 30 years from now, that's different. But if you've got an immediate need, be conservative. Again, I said the stock market's going to fall 30% or more. I can be as optimistic as possible. You know me, Steve. We've done this for many years. But when the market's going down, I'm going to tell you, and that's what's about to happen.
No, I understand. My daughter has a $50,000 ExxonMobil. Wait and see or sell now. She's 30 years old. I don't know what that means.
She probably owns $50,000 in ExxonMobil stock. That's probably what she's
okay,
saying, right?
So wait and see or sell it now. She's 30.
Sell it now, because ExxonMobil and all the oil stocks are going to go down dramatically more from here. They're all losing money. Now, that's the strongest of the strong, so eventually they'll pick up other companies. But, I mean, in the short term, it's going to go down a lot more from where it is. It already has gone down. I think oil stocks are going to be the absolute worst place to be with oil. If oil is now 27 and it's going down to the low 20s, if not the teens, that is going to decimate all these oil companies, including the big strong ones like Exxon.
This is a good question. American Express did a deal with Costco that it's going to expire.
Right.
And Costco's going Visa MasterCard route, apparently.
Right.
When my American Express Costco card closes, will that affect my credit card?
No.
Credit rating.
No, because it's not something you did. You didn't close it. So, no, it will not affect your credit rating, something like that. But that deal, which went on for a long year, is running out. I think it's in May when they actually stop the thing. So it will not affect your credit.
Kevin, you found your information?
No, I didn't. But somebody I know close to me asked me to ask a quick question to Jordan.
Yeah. Go for it.
Jordan, I'm guessing you will need the interest rates for this as well. But it says, Kevin, ask him if I have the money to just pay off my student loan. Should I do it now or save it for a down payment or house or something else or invest it?
Well, it depends how much you've got and what kind of interest rate you're paying on it. I mean, if you're at 6-7% on your student loans and pay it off, you get an instant 6-7% return risk-free. So that's a good thing. If you invest it in the stock market, you're about to lose 30%. So that wouldn't be a particularly good place unless you do something like the commercial mortgage bridge loans where you're going to get a 6% return. It's always a matter of what's the alternative use of the money. That's the question you should ask. Paying it off is not a bad thing. Then you start working on the down payment for the house. I'm always in favor of getting out of debt as fast as possible, so that may be their best solution, not only financially, but psychologically.
Thank you.
Is that the same for car loans too, Jordan? I mean, have, say, $5,000-$7,000 left, you just paid off?
So a car loan is you're lending against a depreciating asset. I always like to say buy things that appreciate, and then lease against things that depreciate, like a car loan. But if you have a car loan, you can actually pay that off much quicker. A website for that would be myloangen.com, myloangen.com. You can pick your car loan interest rate and payoff time and get a much better deal on car loans that way.
Two more texters. I got $45,000 in career training loans, and this answers the caller's question as well. $45,000 in career training loans through Sallie Mae at 13% interest.
Whoa.
Nobody will touch them for consolidations, refi, anything. Any suggestion?
No, they can refi. She hasn't gone to the right place then.
Okay.
Again, that's SoFi.com, SoFi.com/moneyanswers. and you can get 1.9%. The 13% is outrageous.
But why would you? Why would I give you 1.9 on a 13% loan? Why am I doing that?
That's what they do. It's this company called Social Finance. They have this whole kind of doing good for people kind of thing. It's kind of amazing.
Really, a bunch of old hippies? What's wrong with them?
Yes, they are hippies, actually. They are. They're all like in their 20s. But they've got money from hedge funds, so everything's fine.
So you basically buy into a longer term, but at 1.9, who cares?
No, it's a shorter term.
What?
It's typically like 4 years, something like that. I keep trying to save you money, Steve, and you keep resisting. I don't know why that is.
I got to get a positive attitude about your negativity. From the 224, question for Jordan. I got a 401k that's not performing over the last 7 years since the 2008 mess.
Yes.
I'm 52 years old, looking to retire in 10. Where do I roll it? Probably the commercial bridge loan short term?
Absolutely. I mean, if it hasn't done well in the last 7 years, when we've had an enormous bull market, you can imagine what's going to happen this year when the market's going to be down very, very sharply. So, yes, just have your principal be safe in a safe haven. Wait this thing out. Earn yourself your 6% and not have to worry about it. You could roll that 401k money into an IRA rollover and keep it safe, earn yourself 6%, and sleep at night, which I think is a good thing, too. Again, the website, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. I know that's going to be popular this morning.
MoneyAnswers.com. Thank you, Jordan Goodman. We're back with the news next, and Dean Richards on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:13. I tried to get Bruce Springsteen to start his concert yesterday around noon.
Right.
A little more convenient for me, but he wouldn't do it, so yeah. I didn't make it. But I'm sure he tore it up. Being a Springsteen fan and going to a few of his shows, I'm guessing he's still playing now, or is he wrapping it up for breakfast?
You know what? I wasn't there either, but what I've read about it, 3.5 hours plus. He always delivers. I've been to a couple of Springsteen shows. You can't believe the man's energy, and it's not like a lot of artists that, I mean, nobody plays 3.5 hours, but some of the longer shows, you know, the artist goes backstage and does 7 or 8 costume changes. You know, goes back, has a sandwich while somebody else plays. Springsteen's on stage the whole show. Something like 33 songs that he did. And this tour is special because about two-thirds of the show was the 1980 double album, The River. He played the entire album. They performed the entire the album in its entirety, along with, the anthems, the party songs, the Dancing in the Darks, the... You know, Born to Run, at near the end of the show, he does a touching tribute to Glenn Frey, talks about Glenn Frey, who died on Monday, and does an acoustic version of Take It Easy.
Oh, you're kidding.
So,
how great was that?
Yeah, I also wish he had done the show. And if we can get some of these artists to do shows at like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're done at 10. It's going to take, 30 minutes to get over there and park.
Get there, we want to get a pretzel.
Let's settle at 11. 11 a.m.
That's reasonable.
11 a.m. private show.
Yeah.
It seems fair.
Yeah, that seems reasonable for everyone.
Pearl Jam's coming to Wrigley?
A bunch of concerts announced yesterday. Pearl Jam going to be August 20th and 22nd. Interestingly,
Eddie Vedder plays for tickets, right? He loves the Cubs so much, he doesn't even take money. He just plays for free tickets.
He just wants to go see the guys play.
Yeah.
They've left August 21st out of this mix, so I don't know if they're taking a day off. Or if they're leaving that, selling out two shows, hopefully, being able to add a third one. So we'll keep an eye on that. They have not yet announced when tickets are going to go on sale for that yet. So we'll keep an eye on for that. But also yesterday, they announced that Peter Gabriel and Sting are going to be touring together this summer. They're going to come to the United Center July the 9th. Tickets for that will go on sale on February 1st.
What an odd backstage that must be.
I can't even imagine...
They're two very, very different dudes. That's all I have to say. I don't dislike either one of them. I just had experiences with both, and they're different. That's all.
I'm just, is this concert sponsored by Depend Undergarments? Not that either of them are that old.
No,
I'm just
looking
for a joke somewhere. That's
yeah.
All.
It's a tantric tour.
They are actually both in about 1,000 times better shape than I'm in, so I have absolutely no room to talk. So also yesterday they announced this, who's going to be playing at this windy city. City.
That'll be fun too, though.
There's one for the highlight reel.
It is Windy City, Dean. That is what we call it.
No,
not the other thing.
You call it what you want, and I'll call it what I want.
Is that some comment on the music the country stars will be playing?
Well, it was, you know, I'm glad that I could get fired from WGN on my 20th
please.
Anniversary. So it just
please.
Keeps it easy to remember.
Is today your 20th anniversary?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm going on.
Yeah, I thought it was last year.
Not anymore. No, yeah. Sorry. Was,
Windy City, Lake Shake. Why can't they just have nice normal names for shows so I don't get in that kind of trouble? It's a big country music festival, Steve, in case you were wondering about that.
I thought I was.
It is going to be June 17th, 18th, and 19th. And for this, tickets will go on sale a week from Friday on January 29th. Now, here's who's performing, and they are hardly what I just said. Jason Aldean, Tim McGraw, Lady Antebellum, Thomas Rhett, Sam Hunt, Martina McBride, A Thousand Horses, Chris Jansen, Jana Kramer, John Party, Travis Tritt. The list goes on and on. They're just like some of the biggest names in country music, all performing.
That's not crappy at all.
This Windy City Lake Shake.
Dean's going to have a twitch for the rest of the day.
I'm poor scared guy. Saying other words now.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name.
He's got a filthy mouth, and he says whatever he wants. Potty mouth, Dean. That's a new one I just wrote.
Mortified.
All right, 825.
On the air all this time, that has never happened to
me. Oh, you're kidding. You've never sworn on the air?
I have never so. But on the upside of this is I think I'm trending already. Christopher on my Facebook page says, I'm so happy I was able to hear you say blank on WGN. Made my day.
How do people know we didn't have you do it intentionally just to spike ratings even higher?
Just a rating stunt.
Yeah.
Jeff writes, Dean, do you need more coffee? Rose writes, Dean, thanks for making me laugh this morning. LMAO.
I got a call from Tim McGraw. Why does Dean hate my music?
Halle Berry's tweeting, too. Oh, she always tweets about you, Dean.
Yeah, that's
you're used
true.
To that.
Halle Berry wants to talk to you at the house. She doesn't know why you're swearing on the
mortified.
Air.
Mortified. Hey, stuff happens, Steve.
See how careful he was there? All right, so a couple of more stories to run through here. The Kanye West tribute album to David Bowie is such a good idea that people are lining up to sign a petition to stop it.
There was a loud outcry. This was just actually rumored because Kanye West, when David Bowie died, tweeted how much he was a fan of his and respected his individuality and creativity. People were offended that Kanye West wrote something about David Bowie, you know, sort of implying that the two shouldn't be in the same sentence, and that Kanye was hinting that he might do a tribute album to Bowie, actually singing, not rapping, but actually straightforward singing. And people went on the web, started a petition. There are now 7,000 signatures on this petition urging Kanye West to not do the David Bowie tribute album. West has declared his admiration, but one petition signer wrote that Kanye West is the Donald Trump of music.
You know, he can do whatever he wants, right?
I think it's nice of some.
We always complain
about him. He does plenty of obnoxious things. He's a fan of David Bowie. So what? Leave him alone.
Yeah, right. Because he's going to say something just colossally stupid 10 minutes from now that we're going to want to spend more time on talking about.
I should talk, but you're right. Yeah.
Jamie Foxx. Minding his own business, not hurting anybody, just staying in the house. All of a sudden, he hears brakes, hears a car crash, looks right outside, and what happens?
There's a guy who's pinned inside of an automobile. Jamie Foxx runs outside. I mean, he's played action heroes on the screen, but he runs outside. This truck now is on fire. Jamie Foxx opens the door. The guy is seatbelted into his car. He cuts the seatbelt, drags the guy out of the car, and said he was just happy that he was the right place at the right time. Afterwards, Jamie had a little something to say.
As I'm getting him out, and I said, you got to help me get you out because I don't want to have to leave you. And I said, you got angels around you. I don't look at it as heroic. I just look at it like, you know, you just had to do something, you know, and it all just worked out, man.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, give him some credit.
And didn't he meet the father or something yesterday?
Yeah, the father I think was, I don't know if the father was driving with his son while he was driving, or the father showed up to the accident scene later, but the father of the driver was there. The driver sustained pretty significant injuries. He's in the hospital right now, but also was charged with DUI.
So. Alive, expected to recover?
Yes.
That's the main thing. And, you know, just everybody asks themselves, what are you going to do when the time comes where you're needed? Are you going to be able to step up like that?
You don't know what you would do. A car on fire? You know, are you going to dig into a burning car to try to save somebody?
I guess you don't know until the time comes.
Jamie Foxx stepped up.
Was Katie Holmes there?
Isn't Katie Holmes?
The big rumor that they're dating
now?
That
they're dating.
Oh, is that right? I don't know that.
Oh, yes.
I was not aware of that. And happy birthday, Dolly Parton.
She, we should have mentioned this yesterday, but, you know, we had a lot of stories yesterday. But Dolly Parton turned 70 years old yesterday. She looks fantastic. She still sounds fantastic. It's still very active, still very vital. But it got me remembering her famous appearance on Johnny Carson. Steve, I don't know if you know that Johnny Carson is running on Antenna TV weeknights at 10 p.m.
Why are you so shy about mentioning this?
Weekends at 9. I barely even talked about it because I'm that kind of a humble guy. But she was on Johnny Carson 1977, and it's like one of these most classic Johnny Carson moments.
You've always been rather zoftic. what would they call that where you grew up in Tennessee? In
Zoftic, I can't say.
Healthy?
Healthy, I guess.
Yeah.
Bosomy. What did you ask me just before that?
Have you always...
Been pretty well blessed. People are always asking if they're real. And
I would never.
No, you don't have to ask.
I would not.
I'll tell you what. These are my...
I have certain guidelines on this. But I would give about a year's pay to peek under there.
I saw it live. I've seen it a million times. It's always funny.
Classic Carson. Classic.
And based on your, you know, the way you're working blue today, I'm not surprised you liked
it. Nothing. Yeah. Turns out that's the least offensive thing on the show today. I am so sorry.
Oh, stop it. You're not going to do it again.
I am mortified.
I once dropped the F-bomb on the air three different times.
What?
Yeah. I thought I was off the air. I had the microphone on. It was over like a down-tempo Barry Manilow-ish record. And it was like my second job. I thought, I'm done. I'll never work again. Complete accident. And it was discussing a song title from a punk rock band that had the F word in the title. And, oh, we thought we were so funny talking about it in the studio. It all ended up on the air. And the preacher for the small town radio station, WENY Elmira, New York.
Wow.
The preacher for the radio station had just got his new shower radio. And he was shaving in the shower and cut his throat. I nearly killed the preacher, and the owner was nice enough to take me in and go, look, you're 21 years old, mistakes happen. I'm not going to fire you, but obviously that can't happen again. And I was never fired. Wait, no, I was fired a lot after that, but not for that reason. Well, so my point is, Dean.
My thing seems like nothing now.
No, your thing was a big deal. but no, it can happen. That's all. It can happen. We're all human beings, for crying out loud. You big, stupid effer.
Mel Gibson just sent me a note, said, nice going, bud.
Did he say bud? Is that Cove
or
something else? Okay.
It's not. I'm not even going close to any of those words today.
If you turn on the radio before Dean started the report, we're going to play that back about 1,000 times. So, all right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
831, sponsored by Wind Trust Community Banks, not the cursing, the hour. And the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center brings you Dean. And again, not the cursing, the report. Big story next.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all the way.
842, when Hawk Harrelson is... taking some time off from not traveling back and forth to the cell this year. You got a brand new voice of TV for Chicago White Sox games in the booth with Steve Stone. It's Jason Benetti. Is he on the phone with us now? Yes. All right. Let me go to Jason right now. Jason, nice to meet you. Congratulations on the gig.
Hey, good to meet you, too. Thank you for having me.
And I'm excited about the Southside baseball as well this year, because I think last year was an anomaly. I think there's too much talent on this team not to be really good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really strong year, too. I mean, you look at the starting rotation and all the left-handed thunder that's in that starting rotation. That's a really great building block. And from what Rick Hahn has said, the roster is not done moving either in a positive direction.
The additions and the subtractions that go on during offseason, how would you know, sum those up for the White Sox?
You know, I think the really exciting one, the headliner, is Todd Frazier over at third base. I mean, he's somebody that I've heard not only is a great character guy, but we know he can hit the ball. So I think he's a huge positive over there, and I think he's basically the cornerstone of the offseason at this point.
You spent much time with Steve Stone?
I have, yeah. We had dinner for a couple of hours, actually, before I was officially hired, and I can't wait to get into the booth with him.
Steve is shy, doesn't have much to say, as you know. No, Steve is got more Steve's got more baseball in his head than the rest of us will ever be able to forget, and he knows every angle, every possible bit of the game. But there's a certain chemistry you have to develop between your position, your chair, and his. How long does it take to get that rhythm going, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's already happened, actually. Steve and I have been talking throughout the last couple of weeks just about whatever's going on, whether it be baseball or life or whatever it might be. He called to wish me a Merry Christmas, actually, a couple of weeks ago, which was very nice of him. But we've been talking. We're kind of on the same wavelength in terms of sense of humor and understanding of where we want to go with the broadcast. So I'm thrilled.
Let's give some people your back. Well, actually, let me get Kevin in here, the resident White Sox and lunatic on the show. Do you have a question for Jason before we move on to Jason's life?
Well, quickly, yeah, I'd still like to know what your thoughts are on Yoenis Cespedes coming to the South Side. He's kind of the last real big outfield free agent name, but you see the deals Chris Davis was able to get and maybe going to price him out of the White Sox budget. But any chance you think the Sox are still in the running for Cespedes?
From my understanding with a chat I had with Rick Hahn as of last week, specific names weren't brought up, but I do know that he's working in outfield as one of those positions that maybe he's looking for somebody to add. So that's not a non-answer because I know and I'm not telling you it's a non-answer because I've heard the name pop up so much, but I have no specific intel at this point that he's necessarily a target. So I think that's a name on a bunch of people's radar, and he's clearly a target for a lot of teams. So, I would imagine he's on some board somewhere for the Sox. I just don't know how high.
Do we need to, like, throw $20 in the pot, or what do you think?
Anything would help at this point.
Yeah. Len Casper, talking about Jason Benetti, says it's totally right to bring Jason Benetti in. By the way, some people may be confused. Hawk lives somewhere in Indiana, right? Isn't that right?
So that's right, yeah.
So Hawk's commute to home games was a bigger deal than going on the road. Most guys would, Vince Scully has done this, obviously, related to age in the past few years. But most guys would do the home games, not the road games. It's actually more convenient at this point in Hawk's life to do the road games, which made this a possibility for you, Jason. So give people some of your background here and where you were.
I'm currently working for ESPN. I do a lot of college football, college basketball, college baseball, some little league games for them as well this past year. And I worked Special Olympics, the World Games for them this past summer. So that was a great experience. I've got extensive baseball experience in minor league baseball. I did AAA for a number of years in Syracuse, then some A-ball in Salem, Virginia. So I've got a lot of baseball experience. I've done a bunch of TV with ESPN, and I'm a Syracuse University graduate. I also went to law school and finished up there at Wake Forest in 2011.
So obviously you're lazy.
That's right.
Yeah.
I can't sit around.
Len Casper, I mentioned his comments, but also Hawk Harrelson called you a hell of a good announcer. Those are both nice compliments from guys who have been in the booth a bit longer than you have. But I love your story. I love how hard you work, and I love your story. And for those not familiar with it, part of your story is that you have a little extra hurdle in life to get around, and that's dealing with CP, with cerebral palsy. And when were you diagnosed?
I was very young. I got sick at a very young age, just a couple of years into life. So I wasn't born with it, but it was very young when I was diagnosed.
And when did you become a sports nut?
You know what? It wasn't long thereafter. I was in elementary school. I took up sports as kind of a hobby to watch and learn and study. And I've been a sports fan, sports guy, I guess you can say, ever since.
And a White Sox fan, right? Grew up a Sox fan?
I did. Actually, my mom dug up a project I did. It was a project on I wonder what I'll be in 20 years. She just sent it to me, actually, yesterday by email. And I said, I wonder if I'll be the White Sox sportscaster.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. I said one of my idols was Hawk Harrelson, and that is necessarily and 100% true. And when I read it, I thought, my gosh, I should have gotten a lottery ticket or two instead of just doing that assignment.
Obviously, you're psychic. But it took a lot of hard work to get to this place and the special challenges you deal with. Because of dealing with CP, I think, are inspirational to everybody in general. But I know the last thing you want to do is spend time talking about that when you want to talk about the White Sox baseball team. I just want you to know that you can count us amongst those that are impressed and inspired by you.
Well, thank you. I mean, the cool thing for me is it's not really a daily physical challenge in that I don't have these significant lingering effects that I have to take medicine for or something like that. It's simply perceptual challenges of approaching people and having them think one thing and maybe the other being the target. So it's been an interesting path and it's been fun. And I enjoy meeting people in part for that reason, but I think I don't want people to get the wrong idea that I'm not sick or anything like that. It's something that I need to deal with in terms of perception.
And as far as the CEO of the CP Foundation, Richard Ellison, and the Just Say Hi campaign, that's a good lesson for anybody that meets anybody that's got any sort of struggles in life. You know, it's just you and me. Just say hi. That's all. Just say hi and let's talk socks.
That's right. That's exactly it. And I would encourage people to do that with anybody, whether it's me or whomever. But I think it's a great message for people with or without disabilities. I mean, just go and ask questions of people or approach people and be kind to people. And that's kind of why I agreed to do the spot that you're referring to, because I think it's an awesome message.
And I'll leave you with this. Your mom and your family and whoever raised you must be exceptional people, because anytime you raise a kid that can achieve as an adult at the highest levels of whatever they choose to do, it's always a special thing. And I think you got to have a lot of parental support and encouragement. And I love that your mom sent you that thing yesterday. That's very cool.
Yeah, Sue and Rob Benetti were always very encouraging of whatever I wanted to do. And they are still vacationing on cloud nine and have been for the last week or so. So I'm not gonna disturb them until the season.
That's great. Enjoy spring training. I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks. That's Jason Benetti. Good dude. We like him.
Yeah, I'm excited. I hear nothing but good things. And, of course, as a Sox fan, when I heard the signing, I went to YouTube immediately and tried to hear some of his past play-by-play stuff. Sounds great. So
yeah, he really does. And I've known Steve Stone for, you know, a very long time, and I would just, you know, encourage Steve to continue to be the good guy that you are. You know, calling him at Christmas and all, that's great. In other words, Steve, I'd like to hear some of Jason, so give him room to talk.
What a cool story, though.
Yeah. How about his mom?
Yeah, and she sends him the thing he wrote when he was a kid. That's cool.
So, really, really cool. Happy to have him on board.
Yeah. Monday on the show, former head of the CIA and the Defense Department. Is it Monday Bob Gates will be on?
He will be on Monday at 7:10.
He's got a new book out. Gates has been doing a little bit of the TV tour first, and on Tuesday, didn't have a lot of great things to say about the top of the Republican ticket. On Morning Joe, he said Donald Trump and as the frontrunner and Ted Cruz have no idea what they're talking about. Now, keep in mind, this guy ran the Defense Department. He worked for Republicans and Democrats. He worked for Obama, but he was also working for both Presidents Bush.
They love me. They love me.
Not so much.
Carpet, this is in regards to Ted Cruz. Carpet bombing would be completely useless. It's totally contrary to the American way of war, said Gates, who was appointed by President George W. Bush and also served under President Barack Obama. Total disregard for civilians, Gates continued. Part of the concern I have with the campaign, particularly when it comes to national security, is that solutions being offered are so simplistic and so at odds with reality, with the way the world really works, it makes you question their intelligence.
The force is strong with this one.
Not so much. Not so much. It goes to Trump and Ben Carson, too. Gates continued, I'll tell you this. I do think that politics is a profession. You may not like it, but it's a fact. And I think if you don't have any experience in how government works, you have no idea how to run government. Your ability to make a government work is going to be significantly reduced. It's not as simple as you think it is. It's not. It's different than running a business. It's different than surgery. You have to have experience. And that's why when Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio talk about the vast experience they have no more experience than Barack Obama. And that's why Chris Christie, I think, is still a guy that's out there who is viable. Kasich is making noise in New Hampshire. He did a good job as governor of Ohio. Jeb Bush's campaign is still inexplicable at this point. Marco Rubio was asked about the Flint, Michigan water situation and said he hadn't been briefed on it.
How about that?
How is that even possible?
Or when they asked him about, how the Democrats responded to it, he said, I didn't watch the debate.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know how you get briefed on the Flint, Michigan story? You turn on a little something called the internet or you buy yourself a newspaper. It's been a top story for days.
He can listen to our big stories.
Is that part of Marco Rubio's experience we're supposed to get behind? All right, the Wintrust Community Banks are. We thank Wintrust Community Banks as always. And we'll take a quick break, come back, get your news in a moment. And by the way, I forgot to mention this. News came out yesterday about Secretary Clinton's server and the email surrounding the fact that she was using a private account. Turns out there's some level higher than high security in the government, and she was sending out emails that were the highest security measure, the highest security label you could possibly apply to any government document from her own personal account. Story's not over yet. Other than that, the country's in great shape. It's 9 o'clock. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN. 9:12. Look, a lot of things can happen between now and market close, but it's an ugly start. And we will keep an eye on it all day long. Steve Bertrand comes back with the Wintrust business lunch at noon today. But it's a hot mess in the first 40 minutes or so. So that's a significant story to keep an eye on. Along with the fact that your traffic times have been fairly nasty. Is this as high as it's been all winter, all morning?
I don't think so.
Pretty bad, though.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. And it's worse to the south. We've just had so many accidents.
Why was the tri-state such a mess today?
Slippery. It was just slippery. And I guess the plows weren't out and the stuff was blowing and nasty.
All right.
I don't know.
Take that information and run with it. I don't know where you'd run because it's slippery out there. You might fall.
Oh, take it easy.
Hometown Voices, we got another show coming up. We will be at the Egg Harbor Cafe in Naperville Friday, January 29th, 6 to 10 a.m. And you can go to the events page at WGNradio.com for details. The Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. The other big story this morning, Rick Pearson was talking about it, writing about it in Chicago Tribune and online at ChicagoTribune.com. And that is the fact that the governor and key Republicans, later today Jim Durkin and Christine Redonio, two of the four tops, who actually show up for their meetings, are holding a press conference or a briefing?
It's a news conference. They're going to be introducing legislation, I guess their proposals to try to help solve the fiscal crisis within Chicago and the Chicago public school system. Bruce Rauner started kind of a firestorm when he suggested that they declare bankruptcy, and Mayor Emanuel said absolutely not. Mayor Emanuel wants the state to give CPS about $480 million, and Governor Rauner has said nope.
So the governor and Redonio and Durkin are likely to suggest that the city and or the schools in the city file for bankruptcy because we don't have your $500 million.
I think that's what they're going to be suggesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a nuclear option, in my opinion, a political move to try to get the mayor off the dime. And frankly, you know, Rauner said it here on this show last week, to get the mayor involved in the process of fixing this as opposed to just slapping another tax hike on it. The sales tax hike that's been proposed to take it back to the Governor Quinn levels
are not going to break people's backs, but they are an issue. Anytime you throw tax into the mix, it's
sure.
an issue.
Absolutely. Especially in the city of Chicago.
Rauner continues to speak publicly about what he wants and what he wants to see. He said on this show, I am not here to break unions. I have no interest in breaking unions. He used the word poppycock in regards to it.
And
so he's got to get
bullpucky.
Yeah, he's got to get hipper references, but poppycock should sum it up. Mike Madigan is invited on this show anytime he wants to appear, 6 to 10, Monday through Friday, and continues to avoid us like he's avoiding starting the session in Springfield. So, again, this could be Rauner's fault entirely, but I'm trying to figure out how when Mike Madigan, the other power broker in this, is refusing to even speak. Here's Rick Pearson from earlier this morning in a portion of the conversation he and I had about what may or may not happen today.
Well, that's been an ongoing discussion, but of course it's tied into the larger issue of the Springfield impasse, the issue of why we don't have a state budget. It's also part of what the governor calls his turnaround agenda, which, of course, includes several union-weakening provisions. And certainly one element of a bankruptcy filing would be to basically strike collective bargaining agreements. Yesterday, Governor Rauner spoke to reporters and explained how he was not pleased with the way that Mayor Emanuel handled the school strike last time, and that he believed that Mayor Emanuel gave in too easily to some of the demands from the Chicago Teachers Union. So everything is all caught up in that, you know, that whole one point, and then that's the whole Springfield impasse. Rauner has said that if the mayor would help him get elements of his turnaround agenda, he'd be more than happy to help work with the mayor to try to come up with the kind of cash and cash relief that the mayor is seeking.
Yeah, as he said on the show a couple of times in the past couple of weeks, and by the way, Rick, Mike Madigan did not appear. He's been invited. He did not appear. We offered to send a car. He had plans. Yeah, couldn't make it. But the governor said in the past couple of weeks that he is very disappointed in the mayor's relationship that he had with the governor, and it all seemed to be past tense as far as a good relationship goes. And frankly, it didn't sound like politics. It sounded like there is a huge rift between the two of them now.
Well, I think there is a rift, but as I've said, I'm not sure that this isn't just part of the normal kind of political opportunism that exists. Certainly, you've got Rahm Emanuel in a much weaker state, the result of the criticism he's faced over the handling of the Laquan McDonald video. And my question has been, though, that when you start getting into some of this more deep, entrenched kind of rhetoric, the governor is saying that he thinks the mayor is a failure, thinks that he is tone deaf to the needs of the people of Chicago. When you start getting into deeper levels of rhetoric, I'm not sure how that leads to any kind of resolution of anything.
It's 9:18, and for the full Pearson interview and for all the podcast information, Ross Cochran, where do we go?
WGNRadio.com, WGN Radio app, wherever you will get your podcasts, it's already up.
And we know, by the way, that there's a problem with the app right now. I don't know if it's been ongoing this morning, but we're attempting to address it now. So for the short term, if you want to hit the podcast, I guess I would go to the WGNRadio.com version of it.
Yeah, or tune in.
Or tune in and grab your podcast there. 9:18, be back with more in a moment, and I've got some prizes to give away before 10. I like your chances. Who's up for Shatner tickets? Anyone? Anyone?
I'll go.
William Shatner's World, we're just living in it. It's coming to Joliet next Saturday, and I have Shatner tickets. You want to go with caller 720 for these?
I would prefer not. I would like to go see my daughter at some point before next Tuesday.
I like the idea of you spending time with my granddaughter. Kevin, how about you? Caller 720?
I think 7's more reasonable. Hmm. Just maybe 7, Steve. Let's drop the 20, the 2-0.
312-981-7200 is the number. Call now. Get your tickets for Shatner in Joliet. Back with that in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
9:39, almost 9:40. Steve Cochran, we continue. Bill Wendy at 10. The list of the worst passwords is out. I still have a pair of Carol Burnett tickets I could give away. All right, here's what you have to do, because this will help you. 312, you got to be willing to hold on, but 312-981-7200 is the number. And if you can convince Ross your password's terrible, Ross, you take 5 to 10 calls, your call, and then you decide who has the worst password. You also have to want to go to the Carol Burnett Show, which is coming up in May at the Chicago Theater, May 17th specifically, third and final show, and the audience will get to ask Carol Burnett questions. But you have to admit, I have a terrible password, and I need to change it. And as soon as you reveal your password and we reveal your identity, you'll have to change your password.
Right. So since there's two tickets, should I give away to the two worst passwords?
No, give away one pair today.
All right, I will.
Yeah, one pair today. And then we'll do another pair tomorrow after this person has their identity theft stolen, and then they have to join me at LifeLock, which
right.
is the right call to begin with.
Absolutely.
The nice. Chicago Theater box office is where you get tickets for the Carol Burnett third show before they're gone. All right, so a pair of tickets. You have to admit you have a terrible password. Tell Ross what the password is. And Ross, your BS meter is pretty good to see if people aren't telling you the truth.
Right.
When will Congressman McSweeney be joining us?
He's here. He's on line six.
He is right now?
Yeah.
Well, I should say hello to him then. Did I say congressman?
Close enough.
Well, how about the raise, Representative McSweeney? I just made you a congressman.
Well, good morning. And the way things are going in Springfield, we need a lot of changes, Steve. Things are getting worse by the day. We need a budget.
I just wonder if it's better to be a representative in Springfield or a congressman now. Both of those jobs used to be so desirable.
I'll tell you, I'm embarrassed about where we stand in the state of Illinois without a budget. People are talking about raising taxes. Students are getting kicked out of college. Developmentally disabled people are not getting the benefits they deserve. We're turning into a national embarrassment, Steve. And what we need to do is do our job and pass a budget in this state. And we don't need to raise taxes. But every day that goes by, that deficit is increasing. And there's a war down in Springfield, a war of words. And in the meantime, the state's getting hurt. You saw GE decided not to come to Chicago.
Yep.
They decided to go to Boston instead because things are so bad. And what we really need to do is focus on passing a budget in this state. I know we've had multiple conversations about this, but we need to do it right now.
I just don't understand how we're still talking about this in January of the following year. This should be the bare minimum requirement. As an operating government of the fifth largest state in the union, you have to get a budget done. And there is a very real possibility that this budget won't be done before the next one is supposed to be filed. Come on.
The governor is supposed to speak on February 17th to present his budget for next fiscal year, and we don't have a budget. People are talking about a retirement tax and senior citizens raising the income tax, and it's all a self-fulfilling prophecy because that deficit is increasing every day. Spending is on autopilot, and we're not doing our job. In fact, I proposed the legislation that we shouldn't get paid until we pass a budget. Right now, believe it or not, members of the General Assembly get paid automatically. Everybody else has to go through an appropriations process in most cases that are not on the automatic spending cycle. But this is just absolutely outrageous. We're turning into a national embarrassment, and we need to do our job and pass a budget.
I want to get Andre in here, but I want to just lay out a couple of the problems according to RebootIllinois.com about some of the things that are already being affected by no budget. If people are listening and going, this hasn't hurt me yet, I'm sure they'll work it out. Check this out. Illinois paid a $53 million penalty when the state sold almost $500 million in general obligation bonds last year because of this. 1,000 Illinois college students did not return to school for their second semester because they didn't get grant funds. Those are frozen. Jesse White announced his office stops mailing out registration renewal warnings. Those fines, of course, will go up. That's going to cost people money because that's a direct effect of not having a budget. The BGA investigation found that Illinois state parks are suffering amid the budget crisis. 735 needed projects at 135 sites are on indefinite hold. A lot of those will become permanent damage in the parks that can't be prepared. And police training classes across the state have been canceled in an era where everybody wants more police training, not less.
Well, how about the fact
that's just some of the issues, and we haven't even touched on the school.
Yeah, and they might be having a session in the dark. Because the state hasn't paid its utility
right,
bills.
Right, we're going to turn your lights off.
Well, the state did a bond offering you referred to. It was the highest spread, the credit spread, which cost taxpayers a lot of money, maybe even more than the $53 million estimate in the middle of all this. As you said, we can't pay our bills. And things are getting worse in the state. And we can pass a budget. There's no reason we can't. We can do pension reform. We can do Medicaid reform. We can cut administrative expenses. But the problem is becoming worse. Again, the deficit is increasing every day. The government is not shut down for some services. In fact, 91% of the spending is on autopilot. But some of the important spending for people who have disabilities and also for college students, it's being cut off completely.
Well,
it's outrageous.
As is typically the case, the smallest of the small are the ones being hurt, from kids in schools and eventual school problems, which is a large issue, but little kids will be hurt, to special needs folks, to people with disabilities, to small vendors for the state of Illinois. Those are the people that are being hurt. A lot of them are your neighbors, your friends, and some of you may be already being hurt by the system. But look, it comes to everybody's door eventually. And it's here now, and it's got to be dealt with. And you can't turn a blind eye to it. So as nonpartisan as you are willing to be on this, what's the state of Republican unity behind the governor?
Well, the governor needs to show that he can do his job and pass a budget. That's why I've called for him to call us back in special session. I think that's a big test. We need to do a budget. There are other things on his agenda. I've been the leading proponent of cutting property taxes. In fact, President Cullerton has a bill that needs some work that actually goes a long way toward cutting property taxes and addressing the city's problems. And so there's bipartisan support for that. I voted 14 times in the House to permanently freeze property taxes, but we need a budget. And we can't go on with the situation that we're increasing the deficit and hurting needy people. I didn't get into politics to cut funding for the developmentally disabled while we're wasting money. I mean, to waste $53 million on a bond deal? There were stories of the last few days that for DCFS, which handles the developmentally challenged children in many cases, we didn't get money in the state because we didn't fill out the paperwork.
So ridiculous.
There's crazy stories about how we're allegedly closing down the State Museum and other offices, but the people are still there. So the offices are closed. It's costing the same amount of money. We're going to lose accreditation for some museums. I mean, it's just bizarre. And so my view is the governor should call us a special session. Let's do a budget. And he should have an opportunity to get a vote on his proposals, and he needs to show he has the votes. You can mark me down as a yes, but this needs to end. This is going on way too long.
Your Democrat colleagues, are they who are talking to you off the record, what is their take on Madigan as, in general?
They're pretty unified right now in the sense that they believe that we need to get a budget. Now, their answer is they want to raise taxes as part of that, and that's the wrong answer. And that's not all.
That's all we do. That's all we do in Illinois. Tax Band-Aid over and over again.
And it just leads to more spending. We do not need a tax increase in the state. And all this talk, there's a lot of talk these days about a grand bargain. Whenever you hear a grand bargain, that's just a code phrase for a massive tax increase. So beware when people are talking about a grand bargain. And there are a lot of Democrats that I'm finding who also share my view against the tax increase. So let's get on with our job. Let's do a budget without a tax increase, and let's stop the madness.
You want to talk about a pile-on, too, Representative. Can we get your thoughts on Mayor Emanuel asking the state for $480 million to help keep CPS afloat?
Well, we need reforms in the city, as you know. There's been corruption at CPS. The administrative expenses are way too high. I do support allowing some pension relief, restructuring the pension debt for CPS, but we need to make sure that they're addressing their own problems. There's a press conference going on right now. There's a call for allowing CPS to declare bankruptcy. I don't favor that. All that would do is drive up borrowing costs, and it would also reward risky behavior, risky financial transactions. So we've got to stop the name-calling and all the back and forth and the politics and the daily drama of the press conferences and just get on and do our job. So with CPS, they need to cut spending, but we also should be in a position that we should be able to offer them the ability to restructure some of their pension debt.
And Representative McSweeney, with this kind of common sense, you're going to be kicked out of politics soon.
Well, listen, I'm fighting the battle down there, and there are a lot of other people, too. So please continue, everybody who's listening, to talk to your representatives about the fact that we need a budget, and we do not need a tax increase.
And demand it. you know, the time for politeness from constituents, as far as I'm concerned, is over. Demand that your representatives demand they get a budget done by forcing the leadership to do it. I appreciate you coming on. We'll talk again.
Thank you very much.
It's 9:50. It's the Steve Cochran Show. That's just maddening. It's like, you know what it is? It's like watching a house fire and going, hey, probably should get some water.
Yeah. But he actually is.
But who can get to the water? I mean, who knows where the water is?
And he's the one saying, you know, we shouldn't get paid if
well, when Quinn did that, everybody jumped on Quinn. It actually worked.
I know. He introduced a bill last week where taxpayers, did you know taxpayers fund all of the travel and entertainment
right.
And expenses?
He was talking about that's going to end.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Does anyone have water for the fire? I don't really want to ask for water. Maybe we should negotiate whether or not somebody gets water as the house burns down. Just insane. Jackasses. 9:50, Bill and Wendy coming up, 720 WGN.
I'm on a ride and shake my body. I start pulling out my hair. I'm on a cover myself with the ashes of you. I know...
We were cutting it out in honor of Dean before we get to the bad word.
Man,
I love that.
It's my favorite.
Earlier today, Dean cursed on the show during the entertainment report.
By accident.
Oh, so you say.
Didn't do it on purpose.
So we didn't want to play that either. We'll get to, you know, we should replay that clip. If you can bleep that out before 10, let's replay Dean's special moment from earlier in the show.
He apologized on Facebook, too.
Oh, did he really?
Yes.
Wow, relax, so Dean. Worst passwords of the year 2015 are as follows. Star Wars, the word password, solo, QWERTY, princess, login, let me in, monkey, master, dragon. I have no idea why this is a bad password. What am I missing here? It's the number one, QAZ2WSX. Does that mean something?
Maybe it is QA.
If you look at the... What'd you say it was? QAZ?
One QAZ to WSX.
So those are the first two rows.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Of the keyboard.
Down the keyboard. Got it. Look at you, smart guy.
Who's using monkey as their password, though? Unless you're a zookeeper, isn't that a little weird?
Possibly other monkeys.
A lot of people really like monkeys. They use monkeys for a lot of stuff.
I got you a monkey for Christmas, and I took it back.
I don't like monkeys.
111111. ABC 123. 12th worst password, 1234567890. Here's a bad password, but hackers like it. Welcome. And the top 10 worst passwords, baseball. Number 9 is 1234567. Number 8 is 1234. Number 7 is football. Number 6 is 1234567890. Number 5 is 12345. 4 is QWERTY1. 3 is 1234567890. Password number 2. It's not with a silent P. And the number one worst password is 123456.
Okay, did you say QWERTY or quirky?
QWERTY, Q-U-W-E-R-T-Y, or Q-W-E-R-T-Y, the first six letters of the keyboard.
Stupid.
So, Ross Cochran, I asked for people to call in with their worst password for Carol Burnett tickets, and the winner was Roger from River Grove.
Yes.
Third show added on May 17th, and tickets on sale now. Get to meet, or I should say ask questions of the great Carol Burnett. I don't know if you get to meet her. That's up to her. Chicago Theater Box Office for ticket information or Ticketmaster, as Carol Burnett's going to put on a great show. And you're going to be there, Roger from River Grove. What was the terrible password calls that you got?
Well, Roger was good. One of my favorites was someone who called in saying that she had set her work password that was in the spirit of Dean. F-U.
Okay.
That was her password.
But she literally did the
right.
F-U. Okay.
The security system kicks in and
locked her out.
Locked her out because it had incorporated that word. You can't have that word as
keywords, password. Profanity.
Right. So as a result, her entire office, multiple floors, had to be reset. Like the entire system had to be reset because she wanted a password that she would never forget.
I bet she was popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was Rogers, the winner?
Rogers was one password, my password, and this is my password. He
oh,
had
good,
three.
Good. No hacker could break that.
Yeah.
That code's too strong. Kevin, what password did you tell me you saw that somebody texted in?
Worst password. Because we asked
password.
For the worst passwords.
And they actually texted. Did you tell Roger he's got to change his password now that he said it?
Yes. Well, okay. And especially now that everyone knows about it.
That we've revealed it. Roger of River Grove. You hackers are listening. Roger of River Grove, that's
right.
His password.
Maybe he'll use I won't use password.
There you go.
As his next password.
That's pretty good, too.
No apostrophe.
Yeah. It's a minute before 10. Bill and Wendy are next.